Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. One day my kids saw our wedding pictures. And they were very angry. They said, "Where are we? Why are we not in the pictures?" I said, "You were not born." He said, "Why I was not born? Because the other family pictures they are in." And so when they saw the wedding pictures that they were not in, they were not very happy. But the point is that they were not born, isn't it? So if you are not born, you don't expect to be in the picture. Amen. So one day, I believe that Gabriel is going to be angry, even though he's born. He'll say, "Mommy, why is it that I'm not in the picture?" Okay, and so our time is far spent. So for the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to share with you. I started a series last week on building God's house. Hallelujah. Building God's house. I started by defining what, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again as we hear your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I started by defining what a structure or a building is. We said a building is any permanent structure. Hallelujah. That occupies a particular place for a very long time, and it also has certain parts, and it's also used for all sort of functions. It could be used for a cinema, it could be used for a church, it could be used for a school. Hallelujah. And we also said that when we are building a house, or when you are building a building, there are certain things you have to take into consideration. Can I have that thing off, please? Yes, that thing off. There are certain things that you have to take into consideration. You have to take the cost into consideration. Jesus said, "Who is going to build a house that he will not take into consideration the cost?" Those of you who have built homes, you know how it is. It's very, very expensive to build a house. Hallelujah. You must also take into consideration the materials which you are using to build a house. Amen. They say in Ghana, there's something TNG. They say it makes the room very hot. Others say use slate. They say slate, it has molded. Others say use, what is it? The ceiling, I don't know. POP, pop. They have all sort of things. It depends. These are materials that are used to build a house. Hallelujah. Amen. And so a house is made up of so many materials that are used to build a house. Then we went on to talk about relationship. Hallelujah. The type, and we said there are so many things that you can build. The first is the house. You can build a house, which we are talking around. You can build a relationship. You can build a family. You can build an empire. You can build a kingdom. You can build your credit. Hallelujah. I didn't know that this country, this is the only country in the world where if you don't owe, you cannot get anything. Oh, where I come from, there's nothing like that. In fact, if you owe, you are more miserable. But here, you need to owe. I remember when we came here first, so many years ago, and we went to the bank, wanted some money, and they say, "You don't have credit." I said, "What do you mean by credit? I've not even heard that word before." They say, "We wanted a credit card of about 1,500 because we needed money to do something." They say, "We can start you with 500. "Why 500? He said, "You don't have credit." I said, "What is credit?" He said, "Because you don't owe." I said, "Oh, where I come from, nobody owes. In fact, if you owe, it's even more dangerous." But here, they want you to have a mortgage, one, a car note, credit card, CVS card. The ladies come, you know it. Ladies, give me Macy's. JC Penney's. Then if the women flip their purse, you see all sort of cars. Then next time, if you are going to buy more clothes, then they will give it to you because you are owing. Okay, so you can build your credit. But above all, we are talking about building the house of God. Hallelujah. You can also build the house of God. There's nothing wrong with building your credit. There's nothing wrong with building a family. There's nothing wrong with building a house. But above all, in all your buildings, build the house of God. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And we went on to read the book of Hagar. Amen. And in the book of Hagar, we realize that because we have failed to build the house of God, so many negative things have come upon us. Amen. If you can remember, We say some of the thing is that you earn wages, amen, but the wages pass through your hand. It's like they are perforated and holes in your hand, and the money when it goes in, it drains. How many of you can identify with that? And I said that if you look at the W-2 forms, you see thousands of dollars that you've earned. These are just, isn't that true? But you see that at the end of the year, you don't have anything. Then you begin to question, where did the money go? But you've forgotten about the credit card. And then the JC pennies. And the JC dollars. That you've used your credit, your money to pay. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, we are saying that it's important that we build the house of God. Otherwise, so many negative things can happen to us. Another one, he says, you earn wages. And when the wages come, because you are not building my house, I blow it away. So even the $8 and the $10 or the $12 or $15 that you earn is not enough. Yet God says, because you are not building my house, I'll blow it away. Several years when we were in Ghana, we used to think that I used to have a mate. He said, Ricky, there's no poor man in America. That is what I did it in the 80s when the university. And the guy was so Americanized. He wanted, all his plans was to come to the U.S. And he made me understand. I also made believe him that there was no poor man in America. And he was telling, and in those days, after we've gone for lectures and we come, instead of us to learn, we sit down and say, even if I go and I earn $10 an hour, we used to do our calculations. We say $10 an hour. Then you work for 10 hours. It's how many dollars? $100. We didn't know anything about taxes. We didn't know anything that even if you come here, you don't even have the required documents. So you are going to use somebody's whatever. So you not, and they will not even give you a full time. And nobody's even going to give you $10 an hour to begin with. Amen. So we calculated. Then we say, if you work for 30 days, I can earn this. How many hours? 3,000. Then we say, me, they make Jimmy Kurano. Me, 1,000. In other words, what means that even if I'm a fool, let me spend $1,000. And then how many dollars is spent? 2,000. After 2 years, I'm a billionaire. Oh. Then we used to wonder, my uncle has been in the U.S. for 7 years. He's not even come home. The man is useless. We used to say all those things. Hallelujah. Then one day when I finished university, I was not having a job. I was just there for almost 6 months. Then this is my same friend. He came to say, Ricky. He said, I said, yeah. He said, so you say your sister has been, my sister and them have been here for 7 years. He said, your sister has been in the U.S. for 7 years, and he can't even bring you 30,000 for you to start business. It's not easy. Hallelujah. So the little that will end, God says, because you have failed to build my house, may the Lord not blow the little that will receive in the name of Jesus. Then he goes on to say, he says, you drink, but you don't get intoxicated. This is serious. And he says, you eat, but you don't become full. And he says, when it's cold, you put on clothes, but you don't still get the warmth. And it's true. During winter, put on your heater and see. When it's very cold. Or this week, can't you see it has been very, very hot? The air condition is not even working well. Amen. And when you add a fan, it even blows hot air too. So it's better to leave it like that. Hallelujah. God is saying that all these things are coming on us because we have failed to build his house. But as a church, we are building God's house in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you are prepared to build God's house? Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah can be found. It's a little bit difficult. First Chronicles, Second Chronicles. Then you go to Ezra. And then you go to Nehemiah. So if you can locate Second Chronicles, then Ezra, Nehemiah. My time is almost up. I have about only 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Now, Nehemiah was actually a person who builds God's house. Let me give you the history of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was actually a Jew. Amen. Because where do the Jews come from? They come from Israel, isn't it? Okay. Now, as we all know, David, Saul was the first king. Then when he didn't obey God, he was overthrown. Just like how the president of Egypt has been overthrown and there is chaos. Amen. And then David came. And David too, he messed up in the way. Like I prayed the other time. He was somebody who didn't actually, you know, he was a very good king, but his own family, he couldn't attend to his children. Amen. When they did something evil, he couldn't address it. And so when he also died, his son Solomon came. And Solomon was a very good man, but again, his heart was worn away by foreign women. He liked foreigners. Amen. He was not a domestic guy. He liked foreign women. Amen. So if he's a Ghanaian, he liked Afghanistan ladies. You see what I mean? Okay. Oh, Ghana and Nigeria are closer. Yeah, okay. It's not anything. But I'm talking of somebody who's more foreign. To Ghanaian marrying a Nigerian is not anything. But a Ghanaian marrying an Afghanistan woman is kind of a little bit, you know. So, foreign women. Amen. And because of that, they took his heart away from God. And after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided into two. The northern kingdom and then the southern kingdom. And Nehemiah happened to come from the southern kingdom. And Nehemiah's, during that time, Israel sinned against God. And so God actually punished them. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon took them into captivity. For 150 years, the Israelites were under captivity. And so that is where Nehemiah's parents were. They were there. Now, the Persians actually came and fought with the Babylonians and they overthrew them. Another coup d'etat. And so they decided to set the Hebrews free, that they could go back to their country. Hallelujah. And 150,000 of them decided to go. But for some, they decided to stay. Amen. Sometimes when they grant people amnesty, you want to go, people, just like what we have in the US here. After the emancipation of the slaves, they decided that if they wanted to go back to Africa, Liberia and Sierra Leone were countries that were, you know, that's where the slaves decided to go back to their mother country they were shipped to. And then some of them decided to stay here. And these are the people we came to meet. Hallelujah. Amen. So his parents decided to stay. Hallelujah. And so Nehemiah's parents decided to stay. Hallelujah. Now, the fact, just like we Ghanaians, Nigerians, we still, even though we are, our children are born here, we still inculcate into them the Ghanaian culture, isn't it? They eat fufu, they eat banku, they eat wache, they eat okro soup. You get what I mean? Don't use your left hand. When you are giving an adult water, don't use your left hand. You give you a slap. Auntie Regina would discipline the children. The way he would shout at them, throw the phone, send it. You know, she shows, because this is the culture that we came from. And so, Nehemiah's father inculcated the culture of the Jewish culture into him. Amen. And the Bible says that he was a very good man. Now, when King Azarias, who was then the king, actually wanted somebody to be a cupbearer. Now, a cupbearer is a very important position during that time. Hallelujah. A cupbearer is not a small, you may think that it serves wine, but it has its significance in the sense that I am serving the king wine. I can decide to poison the king. So, before that portfolio is given to you, you have to be a man of integrity and accountability. You must be a man of a good report. Kobe. Amen. You can't just go. They have to look at your, like my friend Nigeria will say, my resume. They have to look at your resume and look at your records. Amen. And see that you're a man of a good integrity. Amen. And so they look at all this and they saw that Nehemiah was very good. Amen. Security advice. And so this position was given to Nehemiah in a different country. Amen. So Nehemiah's work was to serve the king wine. In other words, during the early Egyptians' time, remember when Joseph was taken to prison? Butler. That is another name in Egypt. That's where there is the butler. To serve the king wine. Sometimes what they do is that if the king is not very sure, he will let you taste the wine. And you taste the wine 30 minutes before I taste it. So that if something has been put in, what is going to happen to you? You're going to go before me. And I'm told that Saddam Hussein, that's what he used to do. Saddam Hussein, when he was the president, his cook, when they cook the food for him, they'll eat 1 hour, an hour before. Then eat, and you see that you are fine. If in an hour's time they are still surviving before you eat the food. If you're not sure, you give some to his dogs to see. So this was a very important portfolio. And this guy was bearing this portfolio. Hallelujah. Now let's see. Even though he was living in a strange land, let's read from verse 2, chapter 2. Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to him, to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sore of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. And I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and the gates are burned with fire? Hallelujah. Why shouldn't I be sad? Why shouldn't I be sad? Whilst my house lays in ruin, whilst you have built your homes with panels, with air conditions, with TVs, flat screen TVs, 60 inches, but my house is lying in ruin. Why would I be happy? Why would I be happy when as a church, we don't have a place of our own place to worship? We just take our instruments, take it home, this and that, the equipments are getting old. Why should we be happy? Why should we be happy if the attendance is not good? Today 20, tomorrow 40, the following day 6. Why should we be happy as a church? Can I have an amen? We don't have to be happy. We don't have to be happy. Amen. If the church, the choristers are not able to meet and rehearse and come and sing every Sunday, why should we be happy? If we are supposed to attend Wednesday church service and the attendance is only 4, why should we be happy? Why should we be happy? He told the king, he said, I'm not sick, but I'm sad. I'm sad because things are not going on well. The Bible says that we have planted our own homes. We have put air conditions. We have all sorts of things. But God's house is in ruins. May the Lord's house not remain in ruins. Because if we allow God's house to remain in ruins, the curses is going to come upon us. And I don't want those curses to come upon us. Beloved, let's rise up as a church. Let's rise up and build God's house. Hallelujah. God's house is in ruins. There's a lot to be done in the house of God. If we want God to bless us, we have to rise up as a church and begin to do what is right in the sight of God. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not sad. I'm not happy because Jerusalem is in ruins. The gate has been burnt. The house has been broken. Can I be happy? I can't be happy. I'm sad. Hallelujah. Now, then we went on. Let's look at 3. Chapter 3. I'm just closing. Chapter 3. Let's look from 1. Then Eliab, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built the sheep, and they constructed it and hung it on the door. So we had so many people joining in to build the house of God. Hallelujah. If you go home, take your time and read. Then number 2, next the aliens of the men of Jericho built. The next of them, Zachor, the son of Imerite. Then 3, also the son of the Hassana, built the fish gate. Then next to them, whatever, Uriah, the son of Kos, also built. Let's jump to 6. Jump to 6. Moreover, Jehudiah, the son of so-and-so, Meshalam, they also built. 7, and next, Malasia of Gobinite. It goes on. Next, Uzziah, the son of... So they all helped to build the house of God. Hallelujah. If you read all these people, they held part of the building and they went to build the house of God. Beloved, we are in the process of building the house of God. The pastor alone cannot build the house. Uncle Victor alone cannot build the house. Uncle Yah cannot build the house. Auntie B cannot build the house. Josephine cannot build the house. Son, you alone cannot build the house. We are kids. You can also build the house of God. You have a contribution that you can do to help the house of God. It's not only the adults. If you read further, everybody held here. Somebody held here. Another one held here. Another one held here. And the house of God was built. Hallelujah. To the point that if you continue, there were 2 guys, the Sambalas and the Tabulas, these Towayas. They started to criticize them. They said, what are you doing? Even if box should jump over the wall that you built, it will break. And again, they decided to even attack them. So when they were building, they had a spear. If you go and read, they had a spear in one hand and they had a shovel in one hand. And while they were building, they were still protecting themselves because the enemy was there. Beloved, the enemy is there to consume you. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that he said, "For this reason, Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance." I see the Lord giving you abundant life in the name of Jesus. I see the Lord protecting you. I see the Lord delivering you from every watch of the evil one in the name of Jesus. Beloved, if you begin to build the house of God, your situation will change. Your circumstances will change. Hallelujah. Your financial situation will change. Your sickness will leave you. The depression will leave you if you begin to build the house of God. Begin to build the house of God. From today, make up your mind that you build the house of God. The little contribution that you can do to build the house of God, do it. Maybe for you, it's water, just to bring water into the house. Maybe for you, it's to call somebody and make sure that every Sunday the person comes to church. Maybe for you, it's to text. Maybe for you, it's to arrange the church. Hallelujah. Whatever work that God has given you in the house of God, do it. And you will prosper. Hallelujah. You will prosper. You will prosper. Let's all put your hands together and work and do the house of God. We'll be criticized. Somebody may say, "Oh, look at Uncle Sam. He thinks that he's the only guy who's spiritual." No. We are all put. Everybody is a sinner. We are living by the grace of God. Nobody is righteous. Not even one, as the Bible says. We are all living by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Grace, God, that sustainer. So do your part. The little that you can do. If you want to do something, you can call me later. There are a lot of work that we have to do. We want people who to follow up. We want people to come to church early and arrange their instruments. We want people to learn. Do something. During JJ time, say, "JJ, do something before you die." 1979, those of you who are young, you didn't see it. You say, "JJ, do something before you die." Come on, church members. Do something before you die. Church members, do something before you die. Church members, do something before you die. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord.